got a word or two to say about the things that you do. You're telling all those lies about the good things that we can have if we close our eyes. Do what you want to do and go where you're going to.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Stephen Hassan, one of the foremost authorities on cults and mind control and the founder of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, Incorporated. He is a nationally certified counselor, licensed mental health counselor, and the author of three books on the subjects of cults: Combating Cult Mind Control, The Number One Guide to Protection, Rescue, and Recovery from Destructive Cults, Releasing the Bonds, Empowering People to Think for Themselves, and his latest is Freedom of Mind, Helping Loved Ones Leave Controlling People, Cults, and Beliefs. Welcome to Background Briefing, Stephen Hassan.
Thank you so much, Ian.
And the Reverend Moon, of course, died on Monday at the age of 92. He had 13 children with his wife, Hakja Han Moon. They consider themselves the true parents. I believe they were your parents at one point in your life. Tell me, though, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but let me begin with since I cover national security affairs largely, I've always understood that there was a connection with the KCIA, that's the Korean Central Intelligence Agency, and the Reverend Moon, and that he was over here funneling a lot of money, and he created this right-wing newspaper in Washington, or bought it, the Washington Times. So what can you tell us about the extent to which the Korean Intelligence Agency was involved with the Reverend Moon's cult?
So I guess I'll start by just saying that I was involved with the group for 2.5 years in the mid-70s at a fairly high level as an American. And I met with Moon personally and attended many lectures and leadership meetings with him. And at the time I was there, I didn't know anything about the Korean CIA. But I very much had been deceptively recruited by a friend group into the cult, and had basically, now in retrospect, believe I had been mind-controlled or brainwashed. And it wasn't until after I got out of the group, after falling asleep at the wheel of a van and getting deprogrammed, that the 1977-1978 Congressional Subcommittee investigation took place into Korean CIA activities in the United States, and they had a number two man in the South Korean embassy defect, and an actual KCIA agent defected with the actual written plan that included Moon. And in the course of the, I believe, 18-month investigation, the final report stated that there were more than a few occasions that there were direct connections with the Korean CIA. In fact, the founder of the Korean CIA said, quote, he organized and utilized the Unification Church for use as a political tool, unquote. And the end of the investigation said this is a multinational, international conglomerate far bigger than the scope of this congressional subcommittee can possibly follow up with, and recommended an interagency task force be set up, combining everything from security services to IRS to immigration, SEC, but basically nothing happened, other than a few years later Moon was convicted of conspiracy to evade taxes and went to jail for 13 months.
But that didn't stop him from buying the Washington Times and maintaining his influence in right-wing circles, right?
Indeed. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about this organization. It's actually amazing to consider. I've been following them for 36 years, and that they have spent an estimated $2 billion in a newspaper in our nation's capital that has never made money. And the question, of course, is where the money come from, Well, we know that $1 billion could have come from one of the largest consumer fraud scams in Japanese history, what they called spiritual sales, where the moonies would be going to people who lost loved ones and saying that they're unhappy in the spirit world and they need them to buy some moon vase to help them elevate their status. So the moonies got over $1 billion from that scam of tens of thousands of Japanese citizens. So some of that could have come from there, but the big speculation is, you know, where else? Interestingly, Moon met with Kim Il-sung when he was alive, and they were considered to be like blood brothers, according to...
That's the North Korean late dictator, right.
Right, the head dictator, not the son who's in power. And so there's a lot of deep concerns and questions about this organization and how he had a coronation ceremony in 2004 in the Senate office building and his M16 gun factories in South Korea, his car arms in Worcester, Massachusetts. And, of course, the big speculation is what's going to happen now that he's dead, what's going to happen with the feuding between the sons, and nobody really knows.
Well, Stephen Hassan, his family is a bit of a train wreck. He's got 13 kids. There's been some of them have committed suicide. A lot of them have suffered estrangement, a lot of public bickering. One had a reality TV show. Do you know who's likely to take over and who really controls this? Is this still some kind of front for the Korean Central Intelligence Agency?
Oh, I have no idea if there's any active ties with any intelligence agency or has been for the last few decades since that subcommittee investigation. But it's clear that there are some very powerful, wealthy people who are in the shadows behind the Moonies, who are who may be, in fact, the puppet masters and just using this religious organization, Unification Church, as kind of a front. We're not sure. As far as who's going to take over, Moon designated his youngest son, Bai Hak Jahan, to take over. And you were right, there was a lawsuit, there was wrangling, there was an attempted coup of the assets, and it remains to be seen how it all plays out. I found out this morning that they're going to have this humongous funeral service for him. They're inviting over 30,000 people to it, and I believe it's going to happen September 15th, and it remains to be seen if any heads of state come to this funeral service and what they can make of a media spectacle of it. I speculate that a lot of that effort is really for the believers to keep them loyal or to try to keep them loyal. I've been pleased in some ways with the coverage of his death. It certainly emphasizes, things like him going to jail and the coronation ceremony and all of his money and power. But what I've been not that happy about is the short mentions of in the 70s, they were thought to be doing brainwashing. Well, I got news for you. They're still doing brainwashing or mind control or undue influence, maybe the better legal term for it, as well as many other cults that are in operation today.
So Stephen Hassan, again, one of the foremost authorities on cults and mind control and the founder of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center and the author of Combating Cult Mind Control, Releasing the Bonds, and Freedom of Mind, Helping Loved Ones Leave Controlling People, Cults, and Beliefs. What is enduring, though, about the Reverend Moon's legacy and the enormous black money behind him is the extent to which he was one of the organizers of the conservative movement here in the United States, one of the incubators He was involved with it from the early 60s with Richard Viguerie, his direct mail operation, and which then led to the political empire of Jerry Falwell and others. So give us a sense about how this religion was in many ways a front for right-wing politics.
So when the United States was wanting to withdraw from Vietnam during the height of the Cold War era and the withdrawal from Vietnam, there was a desire to try to counter what was perceived to be the communist, influence and the communist brainwashers who were influencing American youth and such. And the instability of the South Korean government, there were two coup d'etats. Park Chung-hee was installed, and the Korean CIA was created with the help of the American CIA. And apparently the Moonies were used to help re-educate any South Koreans to kind of counter the brainwashing of the North Koreans. And it was later that the Moonies were given money to start groups on campuses to counter the anti-Vietnam War movement. Later, people like myself were sent to the Capitol to fast for Richard Nixon during Watergate, and very much courting the right-wing interests. You're absolutely right in terms of the Moon's involvement at basically networking, milking, and funneling money to many right-wing individuals, including Jerry Falwell. I believe he gave him millions of dollars when his organization was in trouble. When the funding for the Contras happened, I think the Moonies came through to get some money. George Bush, number one, was the CIA director during the Congressional Subcommittee investigation, and Bob Boettcher, the coordinator of that committee, said that George Bush did everything possible to sabotage the Congress's subcommittee efforts. Later, George Bush was given millions of dollars to speak on behalf of Moon in the United States, Asia, and South America. And in the meantime, as they're courting the conservative movement, he's getting close to the North Korean dictator and other fascist dictators and death squad leaders. So what he was doing and how he was doing it was definitely on the dark side, in my strong opinion. And as far as his legacy goes, I can only hope that, more light will be shed on the facts of everything that he has done. And frankly, I scratch my head of how we could be subsidizing this enterprise, given that it's violated so many laws over the years. And I should also add that Moon stated over and over again how democracy was satanic, and God hates democracy, and God wants a theocracy that's basically focused on Moon and his children, and that we should all learn Korean, which is basically the master race.
So, well, to some extent, that is the way that the North regime operates. It's not, as a lot of analysts think of it as a communist regime, but it's really more like the Imperial Japanese regime in the 1930s, in the emperor worship of the dear leader who was close to the Reverend Moon, who also enjoyed the worship of his flock as well, or probably demanded it, right? You said you were fasting on his behalf during Watergate on the steps of the White House, fasting in support of Richard Nixon. How do you get to your political orders in a religious cult?
So I'll tell you another true story, and that was the week that the United Nations was voting on whether to remove troops from South Korea for human rights violations, and the Moonies set up a 7-day fast on the opposite of the United Nations, set up a front group And I'm not sure if I can remember the whole title because it's so ridiculous, but it's something like the Japanese Wives of the American Committee for Japanese Wives of North Korean Repatriates. And more or less, we were told directly by Moon not to tell anyone we were in the Moonies, that we were there for human rights only and to draw attention to how North Korea has violated human rights and therefore why South Korea needs to have United Nations troops there. And, you know, from the mind of a Mooney, we were following the Messiah who knew God's plan, who was going to build the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that this world was controlled by Satan, and because he was God's man and he could read minds and know the future, we just needed to be blindly obedient and everything would be fine. So, later, of course, when I woke up from my trance, I realized he was a liar, he was a cheat, he had illicit sex and illegitimate children, and is not to be trusted whatsoever, much less that he's sinless and, the greatest man in human history.
Just in closing, Stephen Hassan, it's hard to understand how the right wing in this country embraced this guy, except, of course, for his money, and how somebody that was so anti-American, he hated America. The Reverend Moon hated America. He hated our democracy, our tradition of individual rights and independence thought, and he also wanted to replace democracy with theocracy. Well, I suppose that's pretty much the same agenda as the religious right in this country. But how do you explain his relationship with the North Korean dictator? If he's doing all this anti-North Korean right-wing stuff in the 60s and 70s, and then he's hanging out with Kim Il-sung.
It's very difficult to explain.
Kim Jong-il, I guess it was. Kim Jong-il.
It was actually Kim Il-sung was the predecessor, I believe, and that's who he bonded with, I believe.
The original leader then. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it was the great leader, not just the dear leader.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, he talked about how God wanted to unite Korea, and it was all about uniting. Of course, he thought that the North Korean dictator needed to humble himself and get in line under him. Of course, nothing like that ever remotely happened. I can also tell you that during Bush 2 era, I went to my congressman to ask how Moon could be doing multi-million dollars of business with North Korea when it was one of the axis of evil countries, according to George Bush 2. And my congressman came back and said he has special dispensation, was the terms he used. So whether or not, intelligence departments wanted information of what was going on in North Korea and was using his relationship to find out what's going on, I don't know. Or whether or not Moon was playing both sides, hard to tell.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Stephen Hassan.
Thank you so much, Ian. You asked some very good questions.
Again, I've been speaking with Stephen Hassan, who's one of the foremost authorities on cult and mind control and the founder of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, Incorporated. He's a nationally certified counselor, licensed mental health counselor, and the author of three books on the subject of cults: Combating Cult Mind Control, The Number One Guide to Protection, Rescue, and Recovery from Destructive Cults; Releasing the Bonds, Empowering People to Think for Themselves; and his latest is Freedom of Mind, Helping Loved Ones Leave Controlling People, Cults, and Beliefs. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.